Well, it's great to be with you this morning. Kenny, thank you for the welcome and for others who have welcomed me as well. I do need to start with an apology. I was running a bit late this morning, and in my lateness, I perhaps missed that you maybe have a one-way system in your car park. Perhaps it seemed that way. I seemed to upset a couple of people, so I'm sorry. You don't want to come to worship and be upset by some idiot from Belfast who has left it a little late. So, yeah, got that out of the way, cleared my conscience. As I share with you this morning about what we have been doing in the village area of South Belfast, I want to use Psalm 67 to do that. And as I do that, I'm asking you to pray for this work. Maybe you will be able to get involved in other ways, but if you can pray for it, that will be great. And I'm going to give you some ideas of things you can pray about this morning. But we want to base this around God's Word. So we're going to read from Psalm 67. This is the Word of the Lord. For the director of music, with stringed instruments, a psalm, a song. May God be gracious to us and bless us and make his face shine on us so that your ways may be known on earth, your salvation among all nations. May the peoples praise you, God. May all the peoples praise you. May the nations be glad and sing for joy, for you rule the peoples with equity and guide the nations of the earth. May the peoples praise you, God. May all the peoples praise you. The land yields its harvest. God, our God, blesses us. May God bless us still, so that the ends of the earth will fear him. Amen. Let's pray together. Father, as we come to your word this morning, would you, by the power of your Spirit, speak to us, so that your ways may be known among us. Give us ears to hear and hearts to trust and wills ready to obey, that our lives may bring you praise and that others may come to know your blessing. In Jesus' name we pray, amen. A little bit about me before I start to share about the work. My home congregation is Abbots Cross Presbyterian in North Belfast, where I'm still officially an elder, though I think it's coming up to about 2 years since we worship there regularly. I'm married to Alison, who hails from between, I don't even know what way I'm pointing, between Clock and Clock Mills, so from good farming stock. I think that's a good thing. And Alison went to school in Cambridge House here in Ballymena. She's currently in France. She's not with me this morning. She's in France with our eldest daughter, who is studying and working in Paris currently. With two older children, Karis is a school teacher like her mum, although Karis in primary school, Alison in secondary school. And Joel, our youngest, is in second year in University of Belfast at Queen's up in Belfast. So for 20 years, I was happily working as a civil servant. And then God clearly called me out of that. He had to do a bit of work on me to get me out of the comfort that I had in the civil service. And I left the civil service in 2019, not knowing exactly what was coming next. What did come immediately next was to go to Cornhill in Belfast and study part-time, and also then get a job with Biblica, Bible Translation Agency, and work part-time for Biblica, playing a small role in frontline gospel work, getting God's word into the hands of people who didn't have it and certainly didn't have it in their own language. Following Cornhill, I did the accredited preacher course through PCI. And along the way, God was starting to prompt me in terms of a new type of church work, specifically church planting, but I had no idea how I was going to do that. And then in about 2023, PCI released a report about Mission Pioneers that Kenny mentioned. Mission Pioneers would be people who would be involved in church revitalization work and also church planting work. And so following a period of application and interviews and training and a placement, I was commissioned at the end of January last year to lead a new church planting work in the village area of South Belfast. I'm based in halls that belong to Richview Presbyterian. Richview is on the Donegal Road there. If you're coming up from the West Link into Belfast, that's the Donegal Road. We're near Windsor Park. Some of you will know that from going up to the football. We're up from Boucher Road in between Tates Avenue and Donegal Road. So that's the village area of South Belfast. Richview Presbyterian don't have oversight of this work. This is a plant from South Belfast Presbytery rather than a specific congregation. We are under the Council for Mission in Ireland, which also has responsibility for deaconesses and chaplains, project workers like International Meeting Point, those who work in Friendship House. And so the council relies on funding for those roles from United Appeal. So when you give, as Kenny mentioned, you're given to support this kind of work, my work, and all those other types of work, and amongst other things as well. On the 1st of February 2025, I started in the village. I started on my own. I wasn't sent with a team of people. And so in those first few months, I spent a lot of time engaging with the community, making connections with people, meeting people, chatting with people, finding out what was happening there, what the community got up to, and finding out what good things were happening, and finding out where God was already at work while seeking direction from Him as to what we could possibly do. And the long-term goal is that we would gather a people together who would meet regularly on Sunday for worship, to really explore to see if there would be enough people there to make something sustainable. The area is surrounded by big old churches up that Donegal Road. Churches maybe a generation, two generations ago would have been packed on a Sunday, and today, for a number of reasons, that is not the case. A significant part of what I did in those early days, it was about prayer and presence. So praying myself, hosting nights of prayer, sharing prayer requests in a WhatsApp group. There's a QR code up there. If you want to be updated on things to pray about this work, then scan that QR code. I'm glad to hear that you're familiar with QR codes. Some places I go to, that's an alien concept. So scan the QR code, you get an update like once a fortnight. It's not a chat group, nobody can kind of interact, it's just me that places things in there. So if you don't want to do that now, you can get the QR code off me after the service as well. In terms of prayer, we have a monthly time of prayer on a Wednesday night, and for anybody to come along and pray in person for the work. At the minute, we get about 14, 15 people along to our prayer times on a Wednesday night. And the rhythm that I'm in myself on a Monday morning, I will sit and I will pray through the week ahead. And then on Friday morning, we are open as a prayer space for anybody to come in and join us for prayer or ask for prayer. In the early months as well, I did some missional research using statistical sources to build up a picture of the area. But the face-to-face research, the meeting with people, the talking with people was really crucial and really important. And from that, I have got involved in some things that already are happening within the community. So I'm part of the team that another community group, they run a fortnightly lunch on a Tuesday. I am on the dishes, so it's not a glamorous role that I have there. But God has used that in quite an incredible way in terms of building partnership with a secular organization, but a secular organization who are working in that community, and the partnerships that we have developed through that have led on to us being able to do other things. And one of the greatest joys from that partnership is a community choir that we started in the run-up to Christmas, meeting from about October up to the middle of December, gathering together ladies and the men. There were a couple of men, but mainly ladies from the local community, not church-going ladies, and we started teaching them some great Christian hymns and carols for our community carol service in the middle of December, where we gathered 170 people to that, and two-thirds of the people there were people from the village, which was just quite amazing. The choir will start again in March, and we hope to build a bit of momentum with that as well. Most recently, in partnership with that same organization, we started Danderball, or walking football, in our hall. We have a good sports hall that we're working out of, and we now have about 15 or 16 men from the local community. Men are underserved in that community. There are lots of things for ladies, men not so much. So we are just delighted that men are starting to come, and we're starting to try and expand that a little bit in terms of trying to engage with more men. We partnered with an organization in England called Table, and we've set up Table Belfast, which is quite a simple idea. We book a table in a restaurant, then we advertise on social media that anybody can come, anybody who's looking for friendship, anybody who's new to Belfast can come and join us. We are clear that this is hosted by Christians, and we've been running that once a month since September and kind of building up a group of people that we're connecting with there who we wouldn't be connecting with in the village as such. On Friday night there, we invited that group to our halls for a games night. We had board games and pickleball, and we have darts and a snooker table upstairs. So I think there were about 35 of us in total at that, which is just great, providing something safe for people. And lots of these people are people who are new to Belfast. Some have come, traveled from far away, some not so far away, but they're all looking for friendship and looking for a bit of connection, and we're trying to provide that in a Christian context while getting people in across our door and then be able to invite them to other things. We started, if we can pop the next slide up, back in May, we started a community coffee hub called, where we started with the name Light and Life. What the research had identified was a real need for space in that area for people to meet. There were no coffee shops, in the village area of Belfast. In fact, that whole coffee culture is quite alien to people there, and actually I've been challenged recently that I might need to change the name of that community coffee hub, because it's more middle class thing. I took a guy out for coffee recently, and we went outside the village. We went to Starbucks on the Boucher Road, and I asked him what do you want, and he said, "I have no idea." And he looked at this menu of all these coffees, and he did not know. This is a 40-year-old man, had no idea what to do in a coffee shop. So just been challenged recently that maybe we need to change the name of that and make it something that's more accessible for people in that area. There's a real sense of disconnect in that community. A lot of people feel overlooked, and through our, for now, coffee hub, we wanted to try and make something that gave people a place where they could start to build up a little bit of community again. And all of these outreach things that I've mentioned are just providing us with a chance for us to meet more people from the community and to show some hospitality. But as a Christian witness in that area, we don't want to just be seen as another community organization. So from back in May, we have been running weekly Bible studies. Our numbers are around 14, 15 people at that, mostly men, which has been quite interesting. Men at different stages of faith, some of them still exploring. And the name, which has already been mentioned, the name that we are now applying to all the things that we're doing, light and life, comes from Jesus' words. That should not surprise you this morning. John 8:12 says, "I am the light of the world." And John 10:10 says, "I have come that they may have life and have it to the full." And the name reflects our desire to bring light and life into the people and places of the village in South Belfast. And as we do that, we pray for God's blessing. If we pop up the next slide, please. The prayer for blessing. Psalm 67 opens with a prayer for blessing. May God be gracious to us and bless us and make his face shine upon us. This prayer is a request for undeserved favor. Be gracious to us. Show us your grace. And it echoes the Aaronic blessing from Numbers. In Numbers, when the people were bringing their sacrifices, the priests responded with, "The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face shine on you and be gracious to you. The Lord lift up his countenance upon you and give you peace." May his face shine on you. It's like a mom smiling at her newborn baby. And in our extended family, we've had a couple of babies recently, and we've witnessed mothers, new mothers, sitting with their babies in their arms, and just that smile of a mother at their new baby. It's like also like if a subject is approaching a king, and the king smiled at the subject. The subject is then assured that the king was ready to receive them and give of themselves for the subject's benefit. So in verse 1, the prayer is, "God be gracious to us, bless us, shine your face upon us." In Genesis 12, 1-2, God said to Abraham, "Go from your country, your people, and your father's household to the land I will show you. I will make you into a great nation, and I will bless you. I will make your name great, and you will be a blessing." Great promises to Abraham that would go way beyond his lifetime. The promise does go firstly to his family. "I will make you into a great nation." And then in verse 3, "beyond his seed to all the earth, all peoples on earth will be blessed through you." The people of God in the Old Testament, the nation of Israel, were intended from the beginning to be the people that would proclaim God to the other nations. We, as believers today, are the new Israel. We now have the role of taking the gospel worldwide. We are to be missional people, whether that be in world mission or church planting or other missional work that you do from here in Ballymena. As part of the PCI family, our giving can go to support a whole range of mission work. And as we have looked back over this past year, we have seen God at work. We have seen him answer that prayer to be gracious to us, to make his face shine upon us. And he hasn't always moved quickly. And not everything has been positive. But he has been that faithful one that we sang about earlier. The Lord of all, who I more and more depend on, because day to day I have to call out on him again and again. And in those early days, as I committed to prayer and presence and trying to build relationships with people as a stranger coming into a new area. At times I wondered, would anyone come to anything that we would do here? But slowly and quietly, God brought people, not crowds of people. People are not queued out our door when we are open for coffee on a Tuesday morning and a Thursday morning, but people are coming in their ones and their twos. And I now have some volunteers who are there with me to help run the coffee shop, and they're there to build relationships with people and friendships, and hopefully in time we will have conversations with people about faith and get the opportunity to pray with people. We've had some of that, but we want to pray for more of that. So please pray that we will get more opportunities to do that. The psalm here gives a purpose to our blessing, which is the second point. The start of verse 2 says, so that. This is not just a private wish for favor. There is a blessing being prayed for God's people, but there is a so that. A so that which gives the blessing purpose. A so that which is missional. A so that which moves quickly to a vision of global worship. So that God's ways may be known on earth and salvation would be known among all nations. Would you pray that God blesses us so that all peoples might know him and praise him? Pray that as we experience God's grace and wisdom, his blessing, so that we can become a blessing to others. Pray that he reveals himself more to us so that we might reveal him to others. Pray that as he pours out his mercy on us, so that we might be merciful to others. He gives us hope so that we can show people the hope they can have as we point them to Jesus. However God has blessed you here in Highkirk, whether spiritually, materially, with jobs, with family, let's view every blessing that we have received as a resource for mission, for outreach that goes from here, maybe for support for the village project, but for support for other mission efforts that you are getting behind. And let's make our prayers like that of the psalmist. God, would you bless us so that we can help others know you. As you pray for blessing on the village project, pray that what we do will help others know him. As we sit and have coffee with people, that it will not just be about making new friends, but it will be about pointing people to Jesus. The people struggling with addictions, many people that we come across, there's a real... You'll know the paramilitary influence in that area from years ago. The paramilitary influence is in different ways now. And there's a real trap of addiction and mental health issue in that area. So would you pray that people struggling with addictions will know that true freedom comes in Jesus? That as we have our Bible studies with people, that will give people a clear understanding of who Jesus is. In September, we started a trial period meeting for worship. I think the next slide maybe has a picture on there. We start a meeting for worship once a month in September, and the hope is that will be a start of gathering people who don't go to church, gathering to worship together. And we've continued to meet once a month, and we will continue to do that up until the end of June. We're getting about 40 people there which we are really encouraged by. Often a few people will come from other churches to support us, and I'm really delighted to have the support of other people. But this is really for people in that community. And I reckon that if we did move to weekly worship, we could potentially have 30 people there. And about half of those people would at this point in time, would be from the village, from people who would be able to walk to church. And that is our desire, that this will be for people in that area, people who live in the village. Pray for Light and Life Sundays. And as you pray for that, pray that we will create a space where God's ways are made known, His salvation among the people of the village area of South Belfast. And as people respond to the message they hear, pray that they will do what verse 3 says. May the peoples praise you. May all the peoples praise you. The singing continues into verse 4, which is our next point, the praises because of the blessing. Verses 4 to 5, may the nations be glad and sing for joy. Why? For you rule the peoples with equity and guide the nations of the earth. May the peoples praise you, God. May all the people praise you. God rules with righteousness, and that gives us cause for rejoicing. We don't praise God just because he blesses us materially, but we praise him because his ways are right. It makes sense, doesn't it, that we honor a king who cares for his people and rules with fairness. And it's a God who guides all nations. Why should the Muslim people forsake Muhammad? Why should Hindus in India forsake Buddha? Why should people in the West forsake their materialistic or their atheistic worldview? It's because there's only one true God revealed in Scripture as the God over all the nations. And he is the God who will judge nations, but he will also judge individuals. All nations owe their praises and their obedience to God because they derive their existence from him, their very breath from him. We were singing that with the kids, weren't we? And all nations should be glad that we have a good God, an upright God, a fair God. Maybe not even a generation ago, the village, if you look back at old statistics, the village was 99% white, working class, Protestant people. Today, it's at least, the last stats we could get, it's at least 35% newcomers, and that percentage is seen in one of the local primary schools, Donegal Road Primary. It's exactly that, 35% of the kids there are newcomer kids. There's another primary school, Fain Street Primary, which is on the other side of the village. 90% of the children who go to Fain Street are children whose English is not their first language. So that changing demographic in the village has brought about issues. And I think you understand that here in Ballymena as well. In the village, we want to point all people, all nations to Jesus, but we have to be sensitive around that, how we do that and how we tread carefully through the waters of how the people who have lived and grown up there all their lives feel about newcomers coming in. So please pray for wisdom around those things. ultimately, we just want to join in with what God is doing in whatever lives he is working in. And we want to see gospel fruit from that, which takes us to our next point, the proof of the blessing. It's possible and likely that this psalm was written in response to an abundant harvest that the psalmist was actually experiencing. And in those days, the harvest was everything. It was the guarantee of provision for the next year. The psalmist is saying in verse 6, look at the harvest our God has given us. Do you see how he blesses us? Do you see the proof here that God blesses us? And if he blesses us, why would he not bless other people? And then verse 7, there is a request for more blessing, but not so that we just sit pretty in all our blessing, but so that the ends of the earth will fear him. I'll read verses 6 and 7. The land yields its harvest. God, our God, blesses us. May God bless us still so that all the ends of the earth will fear him. Even after we see, even after we experience God's blessing, we still need more of that blessing. And it's okay for us to keep asking for God to bless us. God is pleased to bless his people. But through Psalm 67, I think we need to understand the reason we would ask God for blessing. Because I think through this, God is saying, you are part of something bigger. You are part of my mission. We are part of the mission of God. So let's all pray for the so that. God is answering prayers for the village. The team of people around me is growing. Those coming as volunteers to help with the community coffee hub and perhaps those who we might consider now as potential leaders or core team or leadership team. We are small though, and we do need more people to come and get involved. There's scope for us to do many more things, but we're being stretched and we need to be careful about what we commit to. There is nothing spectacular. There is nothing out of the ordinary in the things that we are doing apart from the extraordinary and spectacular God that we serve. We are just there providing a welcome for people, making coffee, chatting with people, seeing what else we can do. And God is at work. He's bringing people to us whose lives he is working in. And it's such a joy and an excitement to be a part of this. There are many times I come home in an evening and I tell Alison what happened that day, the conversation that I had, and we both sit, wow, how did that come about? How did that happen? Well, we actually know how it happened. And it's nothing to do with me. And it's nothing to do with any great ideas that I've had. It's all about God. Let me tell you a story of one man. On Marathon Sunday last year, so we were just a few months into what we were doing. We were about to open up for coffee on a Tuesday and Thursday morning with a couple of thousand flyers printed. And I said to Alison, we should go over. Marathon comes down the Donegal Road. We'll go over there. We'll sacrifice going to church. And we'll go and we'll walk up and down the Donegal Road and we'll meet people because people will come out and watch the marathon. We'll give out flyers and we'll chat with loads of people, and lots of people will want to come to our coffee shop. So over we went. The roads were closing early, so we had to leave the house at like 7 in the morning just to make sure we were in. And then we went out when we knew the marathon was coming down. And nobody from the village was interested that the marathon was coming down the Donegal Road. The road was quiet. There were a few people there who had come from other places and had got their deck chairs out and obviously knew that was going to be a good spot. But as far as the people we were trying to connect with, nah, weren't interested. We walked up and down Donegal Road for a couple of hours, went for coffee, came back, had a few conversations with people, gave out a few flyers. We did give out some flyers. And then we just thought, right, well, let's pack this in. This has been a waste of time. Our daughter was running the leg of the marathon. Let's go and see where Caris is. And we'll salvage something from this day. About 2 months later, we had opened up on a Friday morning for prayer. And not many people were coming into that. And in walked a man from the village. And he said to me, I need to talk to you. Now, working in the village, someone says they need to talk to you. It's a little bit worrying. But he said to me, do you remember Marathon Sunday? And I said, yeah, I remember Marathon Sunday. He said, you give me a flyer. And you said something about wanting to start a church here in the future. And you said something about coffee. But that started me thinking. I didn't have any, we had no conversation about faith. It was basically, yeah, probably by that time it was so disheartened. It was, we're starting coffee and we're going to have church sometime in the future. But this man took that flyer and he said, that prompted me to start thinking about things. And I went and I found a Bible. And I went and I read other things. And between Marathon Sunday and 2 months later, him coming into our hall, he had come to faith all on his own, no other influence. And now he's a key part of what we're doing. I see him as a future leader. He is inviting his family. His son has been to our walk on football. His daughter and his mom are part of the choir. He brought his dad to our community carol service. And I'm just reminded, this is nothing to do with me. This is all about the God who we serve and we love, who was already working in that man's life. And I was just a tiny little bit handing him a flyer. And from that, he has come to faith. We want to see more people like that. We want to see more people come to Jesus. We want to see people, more people who live in the village like he does, because that's our greatest asset, that people who live there come to faith, have the connections with people there, and can invite their family and friends. So my prayer for myself and my growing team in the village is that God will bless us, but not for our sake. That he will bless us so that others will come to know Jesus. Think of a final slide with a few wee pictures on it. In 2026, we just feel that we should be prioritizing ministry to men. Our choir will restart, and we have just kicked off an after-schools club with CEF in Donegal Road Primary. But men, discipling men and doing more for the men in that community is where we see our focus for the coming months. Reality, as I've said already, is that we are at capacity in terms of what we can do and the people that we have to do things. So I need more people. So pray for more people to come and get involved. People who will have a heart for mission. People who maybe give up the comfortable church that they're living in and come to the village and serve with us in that part of Belfast. Maybe you have links to people in and around that area and you could prompt them to come and chat with me and have a think about that. Maybe you have students or maybe you are a student who lives up in Belfast during the week and you could come and get involved. But maybe you, even as far away as Ballymena, could come and help and come up with some ideas or get involved, even with a one-off event, to help us do what we're trying to do. But I am asking you to pray for us. Pray that God would continue blessing us powerfully so that people far beyond our current reach will come to know him and fear him. Pray that lives in the village will be transformed and that the village area of South Belfast will be transformed. I have this vision of years down the road that the village will become known as a place that sends people into other parts of Belfast and beyond. Would you pray that our God will work powerfully and do something like that? Ultimately, Psalm 67 finds its fulfillment in Jesus Christ. The grace we pray for, God's face shining on us, comes fully in Jesus. He is the face of God made visible. The King who looked favorably on us and gave of himself for us. He is the salvation revealed to the nations. And when Jesus returned to the Father, he gave us the job of mission. He gave us our purpose. When we gather like this on a Sunday, we gather to do the only thing that will continue into eternity. We do lots of things in our lives, but this gathering for worship, we will continue to worship into eternity. But until then, our worship here today and in the weeks ahead should lead us to mission, which should lead to more worship as we point people to Jesus, and as they come and join us in worship on this earth. That's the heart of this blessing, that through us many would come to know Jesus. And we will experience that on earth, but ultimately we will gather with all the nations, with every tribe, tongue, and nation, and worship him forever. May the peoples praise you, God. May all the peoples praise you. Amen.
Gary, thank you for giving us an insight into what God is doing in the village area.
Pleasure.
I love the idea of dander football. Maybe we can sell it as an extreme sport. But as a congregation, I would love to pray for you at the moment.
Thank you.
Let us pray. Heavenly Father, we lift up Gary and thank you for the calling him into the light and life ministry in the village area. Lord, you see his heart as he reaches out to others in the community for every act of kindness, every word of encouragement, and every step taken in your name. Strengthen him when he is weary. Encourage him when his challenges arise. Protect him as he continues to minister and to serve in this work. May your Holy Spirit fill him with wisdom, compassion, and boldness. Let light and life continue to be a place of hope, restoration, and peace in the village area. Bless Gary and his team and all those he reaches. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen. Amen. Thank you.